Hello, good morning. I'm Bill Richardson here this week for Sheila Rogers on Sounds Like Canada. Also on the program today, two men with two different quests. Filmmaker Greg Hamilton wants to bring chinlone to the world. Now, chinlone is the national sport of Burma. It's not competitive. Men and women can play on the same team, and the footwork is very, very fancy indeed. Hello once more, and welcome back to Sounds Like Canada on this Monday morning. I'm Bill Richardson here this week for Sheila Rogers. And in this half hour, Greg Hamilton and his film Mystic Ball. It is about chinlone. Now, you've probably never heard of chinlone. I know that I hadn't. It's the national sport of Burma, the Southeast Asian country in the vice-like grip of a military dictatorship. Chinlone looks quite a lot like hacky sack. It's played with a small ball that's woven out of rattan, and it is Greg Hamilton's, well, quite unlikely passion. I'll let him tell you a bit about it.
Okay. So. I want to tell you my story. It's about a strange love affair between me and this ball. It's not your typical boy meets ball love story, though. This one began about 20 years ago, and it's taken me halfway around the world a few times, and deep into a culture that's almost unknown to the rest of the world. In the beginning, it was purely physical. And then unexpectedly, it became spiritual. Anyway, I decided to make a film about it.
Greg Hamilton playing chinlone in his new film Mystic Ball. Greg is with me this morning in our studio in Toronto to talk about the film and chinlone and the spirituality of sports and who knows what else. How do you do, sir?
I'm very fine, thank you. Thank you for having me on your show.
My great pleasure. I guess I really want to know what the typical boy meets ball love story is, if this is an atypical one.
Gee, I don't know.
Yeah, no, let's not go there. It's an amazing sound. What was all that grunting about there?
Well, it's really hard to keep the ball up, so that comes at the beginning of the film, and I'm basically just keeping the ball up in a kind of practice mode. And the grunting is just because it's not easy.
No, it surely is not. Just so people know what it is we're talking about here, let's give them a picture of what chinlone looks like. It's played in a circle to start with.
Yeah, it's played in a 22-foot diameter circle. Chinlone is a very difficult thing to define or categorize. It's kind of like a mixture of sport and dance and meditation. It's not competitive. It's a team sport, but there's no opposing team. And basically what happens is that a team of six people basically keep up this rattan ball and pass it back and forth within a circle. That doesn't sound very interesting, but it gets very interesting when you understand that there's over 200 different movements that they use, and the game is exceptionally quick.
Now, I'd said that it looks a little like hacky sack, which most people will have seen played or may have played themselves. So the point being that it's played not entirely but mostly with the feet, right? The hands don't come into play at all.
No hands, just the feet and knees.
Just the feet and knees. And then sometimes the ball gets balanced like on the back of the neck or on the small of the back or somewhere.
Yeah, sometimes.
Yeah. Right. How did you first come upon this? Because until I'd seen the film, I had never even heard of it.
Well, I just happened to come across one guy playing with a ball in a small park in Toronto. That was back in the very early 80s, and I was instantly fascinated with it, and you know, went up to him and spoke to him and found out that it was from Burma, and you know, that was it. I was just hooked right from the first moment I saw it.
You've been to Burma any number of times. We'll get to your travels there, but chinlone balls can't be easy things to find in Canada, I don't suppose. What are they look like a bowling ball kind of in shape.
Well, they kind of look like a round basket because it's woven of these fairly thin strips of rattan. So you can see right through the ball. There's holes in it, and I think the ball is really a work of art, actually.
They're fantastic. You were playing with a ball just before this interview began, and Tim, who's there with you, recorded some of the sound. Can we just hear some of the sound of that ball in play? So there it is. That's the sound then of the Chinlone ball. And Greg Hamilton, who's my guest in our Toronto studio, at play. It's the national sport of Burma or Myanmar. And Greg has been going there for a number of years now, exploring it. He's made a film about it called Mystic Ball. So when we see this Chinlone played in its natural habitat, as it were, sometimes it's a very formal kind of situation. There are like tournaments and crowds of people are there. Sometimes it's just like a street game.
Well, it starts off as an end in itself. I mean, just you just play this thing because it's so much fun to play. Then there are Buddhist festivals. Myanmar being a Buddhist country, there's these really large Buddhist festivals where Chinlone is a featured thing, a featured entertainment. And then you have it paired together with music. There's a traditional orchestra, and the players play in time to the music, and the musicians accent the play. So it takes place in a number of different kind of ways in Burma. Like, you have these Buddhist festivals, you have like they'll have games for weddings or monk funerals, and just all kinds of different events they'll have Chinlone playing.
I want to play another clip from the film now, this is you. You've just finished playing in a tournament, and you're just breathless at the end of it, really on fire. So we'll just hear this clip now.
Getting to play with this team like I just played with, it's like playing with Michael Jordan and Baryshnikov and Fred Astaire and Bruce Lee and Muhammad Ali and all the most beautiful movement people and sports people I could ever imagine in my life. I mean, it's surely the most fun, beautiful, mystical feeling. I mean, this is like my religion and, you know, my love and my heart. And Chinlone is really, it's just all about love and happiness. Let me get a translator.
That's Greg Hamilton. What's the Buddhist word or the Buddhist phrase that described the sort of meditative state that you would find yourself in sometimes?
It's jhana. It comes from dhyana, which is has to do with meditation in Buddhism. And a really interesting thing about Chinlone is that everyone who plays experiences a kind of trance. I mean, I guess what I would call a trance. A super intense, focused state of mind, kind of blissful, and I think that's one of the reasons people love to play it.
I wonder what it is about Chinlone that induces this, as opposed to, say, well, I don't know, another sport about keeping a ball up in the air, volleyball, for instance. I mean, I'm sure that volleyball players get their own kind of buzz.
Yeah, this is, I mean, one of the things I think is that it's not competitive, so you have a different spirit in the play. It's really playful and happy, and there's always, like, a lot of laughing, and, you know, I mean, once you have people trying to win, it just gets a lot more serious, and, you know, things are different. People tend to get obsessed. In my opinion, most sports are really a form of fighting, and Chinlone is a form of making love.
Mm.
I don't know if that helps.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Apart from learning the sport and everything involved with that, just the entree this gave you as a kind of, it must be said, a curiosity. I mean, you're an African-Canadian guy. You're this great big guy. There you are. You've come with this express interest in learning this thing. I mean, you really stood out.
Actually, I'm not that big. I just look big over there because I'm a little bigger than they are. I'm a medium-sized guy.
Well, nonetheless, the point remains. I mean, you were plainly not from the neighborhood.
No.
But people were welcoming. They were embracing.
Oh, well, it was very difficult there at first. You know, I didn't just go there and suddenly fit into that community. I mean, first of all, just because of the nature of the country, they don't see a lot of foreigners there or tourists, and so people are a little suspicious, and they don't easily open up at first. They're very, very good-hearted people, but, you know, I mean, it's not like a lot of countries that you might go to where people are, like, just really friendly right off the bat.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, over the years, as I learned how to play there more, I mean, I have to say this, you know, I played for a good 14 or 16 years by myself before I went and got serious coaching there.
Yeah.
So I already had some level of skill. It was very sloppy, but it was nevertheless some level of skill with the ball. And then I started to learn how to do these stylized movements. Just over time, as the people in that community saw me playing and learning, and especially trying to learn the thing in its true form, which is really difficult, because what happens is that form is all important in this. So it's, in a way, it's like ballet. And I mean, if you're doing something in ballet, for example, you must have the correct form or people are not going to appreciate it. Well, it's the same thing with Qinlong. So that's one of the reasons why it's so difficult. And as one of the older guys says, I mean, older than me, says in the film, you know, for example, in boxing or in soccer, if you score the goal and fall on your face or you knock the other guy down, it doesn't matter how sloppy or ugly it is, you win, and that's good. But in Qinlong, how you actually do the movement and the position of your hands, your arms, your torso, it's all like really important, and people won't appreciate your playing if you're all sloppy looking and your arms are in the wrong position, even though you kept the ball up.
Mm-hmm. Does the interest in Qinlong in Burma cross all classes? Is it universal there?
No, that's a good question. No, it isn't actually. It's done more by poor people, and the people that are really highly educated or more wealthy, they don't tend to play Qinlong actually. And so in Burma, it kind of is considered almost a village sport. And even though they call it their traditional or national sport, it hasn't gotten a lot of respect within the country. And actually, since we've been going and filming there, for the first time it started to be on television.
Oh, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think, because you were there filming it, do you think was that the reason?
Oh, that is why. And it's, you know, it's interesting to me because, I mean, if you look back at blues music around the turn of the century, black people didn't really want to own that music as theirs because they kind of felt it was like hillbilly music or something.
Uh-huh.
But then when the mainstream society started to focus on it, then, of course, suddenly black people were, like, proud of blues. So, you know, I think it has to do something with when, you know, a larger culture or a more mainstream culture picks something up. It just gives it a prestige that it didn't have before.
This is Greg Hamilton in our Toronto studio, and he's just made his first film, which is called Mystic Ball. I say just made. I think it was made over the course of about 8 years of traveling to Burma and looking into the sport called Qinlong that we've been talking about. You know, what's so interesting about this film, too, is that it's in Burma. We all know about Burma, but there's not one mention of politics.
Right. Because, well, there's a few reasons. I mean, first of all, this is just not a political film. It's a cultural film. It's about this subject. It's about my journey into that world. And in addition, it is kind of ticklish, kind of difficult about the political situation there. I have to go back in the country. The people that I have featured in the film, of course, they have to live there. And it's just not cool at this time to be criticizing the government. Mm-hmm. They don't take well to that.
This Qinlong is still not well known outside of Burma. A film like this could change that. But do you think that it holds within its sort of peaceful, bliss-inducing self the possibility of change, like national change, political change?
Within Burma?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, actually I do. I think that this film could be very meaningful in terms of the politics in an indirect way. I mean, I think that, you know, like with South Africa, I think that the world really caring about that situation and wanting to change it really had an effect. And I think that for a lot of people nowadays, it's not easy to just, you know, become interested in another culture or country just because of politics. It can be a bit dry, I mean, for somebody in Canada or America, say. But if you have a feeling or you like something from that culture, then that can kind of draw you in, and maybe you'll have some other interest that may include politics. So I think that there's a good chance that in an indirect way, it may have an effect.
Mm-hmm. You've been doing some work to bring Chin Lone out of the country. You've been organizing a world tour, huh?
Yes, absolutely. That's my real dream. That's really why I made the film, to be quite honest. And I'm working on a Chin Lone world tour to take Chin Lone players, some teams, and solo players to some different countries and, you know, just basically show it off. And I should mention that Susu Lang, the incredible woman player in the film, is coming to Toronto.
Oh!
We're actually bringing her for the premiere, so she'll be here this Saturday, and she'll stay until May 9th, and she'll do a little performance after the film premieres, before the Q&A period.
That's fantastic. Are you going to be importing the balls?
At some point, yes. Yeah, the balls are really difficult. They take a long time to make. But yes, of course, because people are going to need balls to play with. And I'm really hoping. I mean, one of the reasons I made the film also was to bring some respect and recognition to these people that have devoted their lives to it. And, yeah, I mean, I think it's a really good thing for the world. And I'd like to try and do something that has a meaning to me in my life.
I can see, hey, a demonstration sport in 2012, maybe. You know? I mean, there's all kinds of things that could happen here. But how far along are you with this world tour then? Susu is going to be in Toronto.
Actually, there's I have some things on the table right now. There are some people in Dubai that are trying to get us to go there. There's some people in South Africa. There are people in London that are interested. So I've had offers from Turkey. There's a number of countries. I think it's really going to catch on because for anyone that plays soccer, they almost have to be interested in this because the foot skills are just so amazing.
Yeah. Who knew? You know, you go walking through that park in Toronto in the 80s sometime and you see this guy and look what's happened to your life.
Yeah, it's really amazing because, you know, I didn't mention this, but I loved it at first, and what I thought it was going to be when I first started to play was a training tool for martial art because I could see that this thing would really increase my agility, just chasing the ball, trying to keep it up, and it would be really good for aim at a moving target. So my first thought, how I went into it in the beginning, was that this is going to really give me an edge for martial art over the people that don't play it.
Mm.
And then I started playing, and I think within a year, I was just playing this thing all the time, and then finally I just started thinking, like, what is the point of me learning how to punch and kick, you know, better people? You know, like, I can do that well enough already. I don't think I want to just devote my life to getting better and better at, you know,
punching
and kicking people and stuff, you know? So this made a lot more sense to me for myself, for my life.
Yeah. And it got you... It got you a kind of family, too, didn't it?
Yeah, it really did. I mean, that's another thing. I mean, so first, I had no idea that I'd just get absorbed into it the way I did. And then I would never, ever have imagined that there would be something spiritual in it. It became a real spiritual practice for me. And then on top of that, I became part of this community in Burma and just became very close with a lot of people like Susu's family and her and these other players. And yeah, I didn't really have a family per se in my life, so that was wonderful.
You know, you're shown in this film looking very nonchalant, riding a motorcycle through the streets of Mandalay. that for me was one of the scariest moments of the movie. Oh my God, he's riding a motorcycle in Mandalay. He's insane. What's that like?
No, actually, Bangkok would be insane.
Oh, okay.
Mandalay is pretty quiet. I mean, they drive a bit crazy, but no, that wasn't too difficult. You just have to watch out for, like, there's cows and goats in the street and, you know, things like that.
It looked beautiful, I have to say, Mandalay.
Oh, it's an extraordinarily beautiful country, and Mandalay is really a really, really nice small town.
So how often are you going now to Burma per year?
Well, I was there 5 times last year, and I just came back here about 2 or 3 weeks ago from 4 months over there. So I spend a lot of time there because, really, I don't have people to play with here. I have, like, there's one young guy that I kind of taught how to play here, but other than that, I don't have people to play with. So I go back there to play, and then also because of these festivals, like this one huge festival that you see in the film, where there's, like, 900 and some teams come to play for over a month, And the festival starts at 9 a.m. in the morning, goes till 12 midnight every day, nonstop, team after team. So, like, I'm part of that festival now. And oddly enough, I'm on television often there.
Yeah.
Because they made a series of programs. So, like, it's really weird because people there know me. Everybody almost knows me. I'm this Chinlong guy from Canada.
Mr. Greg, you're
crazy. Calling. Yeah, Mr. Greg from Canada.
Do you ever think about relocating, if not to Burma itself, into some place closer by, like Thailand, for instance?
Absolutely. I used to live in Indonesia, and I used to live in Thailand, and I'm just kind of getting ready to move back to northern Thailand so that I can be close to Myanmar, close to Burma, because, you know, of course, being in Canada, it's like a 20, 25-hour flight to get back and forth, which is crazy.
Yeah. Do they make special provisions for you going in and out of the country? Because it's legendarily difficult to get in. Well, you need a visa, and it's only for a month, right? So
no, I've been wishing they would. If you have any connections, please.
Not so far.
No, they don't give me any special consideration yet. I think they might in the future.
Mm-hmm.
I hope so. So I have to get a visa every time I go. And, you know, it's not that bad, but it's a bit of a hassle.
Well, it's a wonderful piece of work, and you know what is really striking about it as well is the ease with which you deliver this narration.
Well, I'll tell you that for me that was one of the most difficult parts of making the film.
Truly.
Truly, absolutely. I absolutely hated doing it. It was really difficult. You know, it's not easy to hear yourself if you're not used to it, and then see yourself also. But the narration was it was a nightmare. It must have been done and redone at least 50 times. And I ended up finally doing that narration in my friend's closet with somebody else in there that I could talk to, because I just couldn't read it or say it by myself without sounding like, you know, terrible.
Well, you never would have guessed. You got a fashion credit as well, or a costume credit.
You really paid attention.
I pay attention. It's my job.
All the players' uniforms I designed and brought the material over from either Canada or America. And, yeah, I wanted everybody to look good in the film. And I actually designed things anyway, so I enjoy doing that kind of thing.
Well, aren't you something? You're a musician as well. I mean, this is what you've done for as part of your trade for many years. And
right.
I didn't mention that these tournaments are played to a gamelan-type orchestra. It's not gamelan specifically. It's a
right.
Burmese equivalent, I guess.
That's right.
So has it affected your own music making?
No, I wouldn't say so. No, it's really separate. It's a really separate deal. And I haven't played music for money for a very long time. I've been mostly doing either designing jewelry or various objects or working on this film.
Well, you're a busy guy. That's great stuff. Thanks so much.
Oh, thank you very much.
Okay. All best to you.
Okay.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Bill.
Greg Hamilton in Toronto. His film Mystic Ball premieres May 1st at the Hot Docs Festival in Toronto, and there is another showing about a week later, I do believe.